I thought I'd start out with giving you some trivia about board games. In your mind right now, think, which one of the board games do you think is number one? Number one of all time. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read them all for you, but you see if you're right. I'm going to go from 10 down to 1. All right? So number 10 is the game of Risk. Number 9 is Pictionary. Number 8 is Trivial Pursuit. 7 is Othello. Do you guys know what Othello is? I don't even know. So it's the number 7, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. It looks like a little magnetic board with some little pieces on it. Number 6 is Clue, because we all wanted to know who, you know, who killed somebody. Was it Miss Scarlet? You know, we all want to know that stuff. Monopoly is number 5, which is also the most played board game, having been played more than by 500 million people worldwide, with more than 270 million games being sold. That's pretty amazing when you think of that. Number 4 is Scrabble. Number 3 is backgammon. We're down to those basics, guys. This is what's good, see? Number 2 is checkers. Number 1 is chess, exactly. Chess is played everywhere, right? You see little kids trying to learn how to play chess, and then you see these big tournaments of champions that can play chess. But board games are kind of an interesting thing, like I said, because I think some people love them. I think some people really don't like them that much. They're like, when they say, let's play a board game, some people are just like, oh, no, I don't want to play a board game. It's a nightmare. But I think board games are popular for some people just because, you know, honestly, they want to connect in some level with their friend, and maybe it's just kind of breaks the ice, and it kind of helps you to be able to talk and communicate more sometimes when you sit down and you play a game. Interestingly enough, the oldest board game ever to have been found is the Royal Game of Ur, which experts believe was over 4,500 years old and was played in the Middle East by the Sumerians in Mesopotamia, which is now modern-day Iraq. They actually found them in a set of the board game in a cave there. So pretty interesting to think that even then, they were kind of looking for something that they could compete and, you know, bring out that board game. They were probably bored and had to create a game. So one of those things. So I was kind of thinking about this whole game of life thing, this idea that I wanted to teach you about board games, and you're like, this is a weird way to go about it. But I think there's something really important for us to understand. Even in a board game, it kind of teaches you some things about life, you know, when we play them. You wouldn't think so, but it's true. Think about it. The dice can roll either way, right? Either for good or for bad. That's how life is. Life is many times pretty much a crapshoot. You really don't know what's going to take place. Number 2 is magical strategies to win aren't always going to be there. But to win, a lot of times you just got to keep moving, right? You got to keep moving. You might not win that great, you know, move ahead board, but the other people sometimes might get ahead and then they have to go all the way back. So you just got to keep moving so you can win. Also, we have to be a good loser. We have to learn from our mistakes. When we play a game and we fail or we do something dumb, we learn from those mistakes and we do better the next time. This one I think is really good when I was thinking about it. Being behind doesn't always mean that we're losing, right? Because I think we've seen that. I mean, I played many, many, many games of Candyland and Chutes and Ladders, and I'll tell you, it looks like you're winning, and then sometimes you just go back, and then you can go forward again, and you can be a winner. Number 5, don't quit in the middle of a game. And I think all of us need to understand that when it comes to life. I think sometimes maybe we start to do some great things for God, and sometimes we get a little off the path. We can't quit. We got to keep playing. We got to keep moving forward. So I kind of just start out with saying, obviously, if you've been here the last couple weeks, this message is pretty basic. I mean, it's a basic message. There really isn't nothing that I'm going to teach you that's just, oh my gosh, you know, she has studied and studied for this. This is really something. This is a pretty basic message. But I think sometimes we have to go back to the basics. I think sometimes we forget, you know, how basic life should be and how we should follow it sometimes and how our faith needs to be the same way. I think sometimes we just really need to get aligned and realigned from time to time. I think we can get off the board, you know, kind of go astray. And I think sometimes we really need basic ideas to kind of work on our faith. I told you before, no one starts out in this game of life wanting to be a loser. No one does. I think if you talk to anybody, they want to win in life. Nobody sits there and thinks about, like, man, I really want to fail. I really want to screw up my life. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to have success. No one does that. Everyone wants to win. It's just what happens sometimes in our lives, the things that come at us that cause us to kind of give up and lose our way sometimes. So I think, though, the problem is, you know, we don't want to really be a loser, but the problem is we don't really decide sometimes that we want to win either. And I think that's also a problem sometimes. We have to look in our minds and we have to have a thought that we can win, that we have to have that idea of success, that we can accomplish things that we're called to do. I think what happens sometimes is we go in and day out, and we never really think about what it is that we want to win. Where do we see ourselves in the end? What's the end game? You know, in chess, that's the whole point, is that you try to look ahead and you try to get yourself in a position so that you can win. I think a lot of times what happens is we don't really have an aim. We really don't know what our win is. So what happens is we just live every day, just kind of haphazardly, not really thinking about what it is that we've done. And then we go to bed at night and we didn't really even see if we could be gauged if we've gotten better, if we've gone closer to our win or not. So what I did, I told Cameron I was going to kind of recap, and that was my plan, because this is the third week, right? So I began this series asking you to ponder for yourself, to really think about it. What is your win? What is it that you desire to have happen in your life? What do you see yourself winning at the end? What is it? What is it that you really want in life? Like, if you look and fast forward and you're there and you're at the end, what can you say that you won? You know, what every day when you get up, what do you think? I want to win at this. Do you want to win at money? Do you want to have more financial success? Do you want that? Do you want to have a faithful, solid marriage? Is that what you're looking for? Do you kind of look at yourself and think, man, I just want to retire and be on the beach. That's what I want. That's what my husband wants really bad. Do you see yourself having kids and having them turn out good, you know, not in prison, you know? Is that your goal? What are you looking for in life? Do you see yourself saved? Do you see yourself saved and sharing an eternity with Jesus? Do you see that for yourself? Is that your win? Do you see your loved ones making it there with you too? Is that what you think is your win? That's my win. My win is for sure that I get there, my husband gets there, my kids get there, my grandkids get there, and my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids get there. That's my win. If I can do that, if I can get that to happen even a tiny little bit in my walk, that's my win. Well, last week, I asked you to take a little closer look at the rules in which you're playing. Because we all have rules when we play a game. No matter what board game it is, there's a rule that you have to follow. And a lot of times what we do is we just go off and we renegade. You know, we don't want to follow any rules. We don't want to really listen to anybody. And we kind of just go off and do our own thing. But I wanted you last week to take a closer look at the rules in which you're playing by. What rules are they? You know, are they the world's rules? Because the world's rules are really kind of messed up, let me tell you. Are they your own made-up rules? Did you decide for yourself what it is that you thought, well, this is my rule. This is my absolute. I'm not going to do this. I'm only going to do this. And it's your own rules. Or are you playing by God's rules? Are you following after him? Do you try to read God's word and see what he wants from you? I talked to you last week, the idea that there was 10 commandments, and then there was two, love God, and then love everyone. And then the idea that we're supposed to treat others like we would want to be treated. Are you living by God's rules? Or the saddest thing of all, let me tell you, is when you're trying to live by a combo of them all. Because this is where you're really going to get screwed up. If you're kind of picking and choosing which rules you're going to follow and you're going to kind of be all over the place, well, in this part of my life, I'm going to follow the world. And this part of my life, I'm going to follow God. And this one here, you know, I just believe this. I can tell you, you're never going to be comfortable. You're not going to be comfortable when you come in here because we're going to talk about God. And you're not going to be comfortable out in the world because you know what? You're going to have this little nagging thought in your mind that there's God's way. So it's a very uncomfortable place to be. What you have to be is all in, man. You have to be all in on God. It's never going to work. You know, the Bible actually says a double-minded man should expect to receive nothing from the Lord. And I think so many times we think we have a win, we play by different rules, and then we're all back and forth. We're kind of like those waves, just kind of back and forth, and we never really accomplish anything. You ever see something trying to come in on the beach? It just kind of goes out and comes in. Comes out, in. But it never gets to the beach. It just kind of stays there. That's what happens with us when we really kind of just pick and choose different rules along the way. Well, this week, what I wanted to talk to you about is your strategy. Because we have to have a strategy to win. You know, just like anybody sitting down to play a game, if you're a chess player, I can tell you right now, I don't know how to play chess. I don't know how. I can somewhat accomplish the Cracker Barrel checkers. That's pretty much where I can go. I'm not a chess player. And I just figure all I got is the end game in my faith. I don't know anything about being an end game in chess, because not me. But I want to talk to you about your strategies. I want to ask you which strategies are you using to try to achieve what it is that you want to win. You should have some. You should have some strategies in your life. Obviously, Cameron, people who are people above you that love you so much and have faith, they want you to, you know, really have your spiritual walk in order. They want you to understand that there's some strategies that you're going to need to do that to finish this game of life. But if you're here or you're listening online and that's not your focus, and maybe you were just drug here, or, you know, maybe you just kind of happened upon something that we're going to talk about, hopefully there's something in here that you're going to grasp, that you're going to say, okay, I can use this to get to my win. I think what happens is we really do need to get better at this thing called life. I think sometimes we just really waste it. I think we're wasting days. We're wasting time. And I think sometimes what we can do is we can waste eternities because of that. We just don't have this goal in sight. I think sometimes we just kind of like live in this meandering, lost, back and forth kind of way of living. And God wants us to have a discipline and a mindset to keep thinking about our win. I think we all have to get better. Because I think if anybody of us out there is thinking that you're experts at this thing of life, I want you to know you're just prideful and you are going down. It's just you're going to crash and burn. Because the truth is, all of us are just learning. Maybe you've gone through some tough times and you kind of think, yeah, I got that figured out. You know what? More tough times probably are going to come. That's life. The Bible tells us that. Is there going to be trials? Or is there going to be hardships? What are we going to do to keep on this game of life and win it successfully? So I'm here to ask you, what is your strategy? What kind of strategy do you have? The definition of strategy is a plan of action to achieve an aim. What you're aiming at, what your win is, okay? It's the how behind the what, which is your win. It's so simple. And like I said, this is not rocket science. This is not. It's so simple that honestly, God makes it so simple. And I'm going to talk to you about it being a board game, which is so simple. The problem is sometimes I think what we do is we start reading all these rules and try to get experts in all the rules, and then we just basically lose our way to even like think about our basic win, what it is that we want. But if we want to be great at something, if we really want to be good at something, even in a board game, there's a few things that we have to know and understand. The thing is, we have to invest time and we have to invest effort, because it isn't going to happen on its own. Coming here to church is not going to make you a Christian. It's not. You might be able to raise your hand and say that's what you are, but Christianity is kind of like a verb. It's not something that's just a noun, a verb, because you have to work on your faith. It's a balance of life. It's trying to seek God. It's working. It's running. It's walking along the path. It's always a verb. It's always you're doing something. You're trying to reach for people. You're trying to help yourself. It's something that we need to do. So even at board game, there's some things that are necessary. Well, Bobby Knight, the NCAA coach, is quoted as saying that everybody has the will to win, but few people have the will to prepare to win. And see, this is where a lot of times we fail. We fail to prepare. We just kind of think life is going to happen on its own. We think faith is going to happen on its own. We think that we're going to come to church and we are going to become faithful Christians. But understand, it is practice, practice, practice that will make the difference. It doesn't just happen on its own. I can tell you after like 29 years of this following after God, I'm going to tell you it's still learning every day. Sometimes it's going back to the basics again. You know, a lot of times in a board game, to get to be an expert, you have to play it over and over and over again to win, don't you? You kind of got to see where the good places to be and try to move here instead of there. And you got to try to like have this mindset of winning. You can't be, you know, lost and not paying attention. And it's so important that we understand this is the very same thing that we have to understand when it comes to our faith. It's so basic. We need to practice our faith every day. It's not just on Sunday. It's not just when we come here that you listen to a few scripture verses or you sing a few songs and, you know, you hear a message. That's important, but understand it has to be a daily thing. It's practice, practice, practice that will make you be successful in that. Consistency is the key. You have to be consistent. See, the problem is we as humans have a real problem with consistency. We're not good at it. We're just not. We really get off the track so easily. I think what we do is a lot of times we start out pretty good. We're like, yes, I'm going to do this. We can see that doesn't usually happen very well when it comes to our resolutions, do they? We're not consistent. A lot of times we think, well, I'm going to eat better. And then someone makes you a really greasy cheeseburger and you're like, I'm eating that. You know, you say, I'm going to like save my money. I'm not going to do this. And then you see this beautiful item that you've been wanting and you deserve. So you buy it. You say that your marriage is important. But then what happens is a lot of times you keep putting work. You keep putting other things in place of your spouse. Your kids are important. But a lot of times you just keep getting busy. And it's easier just to tell them to, shh, go sit down, than it is to sit with them and give them a little of attention when that's what they're clamoring for. See, the thing is, we have a real issue with consistency. We are really, really bad at it. You know, someone who modeled a life of consistency for us in the Bible, and there's many. I mean, if you look at Paul was amazing once he got it all figured out, when he went from Saul to Paul. But someone else is the man named Daniel. Daniel was amazingly consistent. Daniel 6:10 says, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. See, Daniel's win was Jesus. He wanted to follow and he wanted faith. He wanted love. He wanted God. That's what he wanted. So what he did was he just consistently do the things he was always called to do. Even when danger came, what does it say? He opened up his window and he still prayed aloud. The problem is what we do is we constantly get off the mark. We let the world tell us how we should live our faith. You know, there's times where I'm in a car and I'm listening to worship music, and there's times where, you know, I'll be like by myself, you know, hey, thank you, Jesus. Someone drives by and sometimes you feel the need to go, Don't want to look too crazy. But I am crazy for Jesus. So I'm like, that's it. I don't care. I'm just going to praise him anyway. But the thing is, people who win do things consistently what others only do occasionally. Understand that. See, the thing is, if you're only occasionally opening your Bible from time to time, you know, when your show is not on, maybe, you know, your other books, you know, really got exciting, you know, if that you finish and you put it aside, or, you know, maybe someone doesn't ask you to go do something, you kind of think, well, you know, I got a few minutes here, maybe I can open up my Bible and read something good. Is that important? Yes. However, consistently, you will grow. You will change. It grows you. It changes you when you do this. And I can tell you, the problem is those people that only do things occasionally, their win a lot of times is just not important enough to them. They don't keep their win in sight instead. But a person who does, their win is so important to them that they make the time for it. They fight for it regardless of what else comes at them. You know, you just are basically just, no doubt, you're going to do this. I'm going to, no doubt about it, I'm going to church. Last week, it would have been really easy to call Cameron and say, I can't do this. I can't. I'm sick. I gave you guys all something to pray for. By the way, thank you all for praying for me to get through it. I know a lot of people were really praying for me to get through the message. Like I said, others, if you guys were just looking at it and thinking that you kind of enjoyed it, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. No, because, you know, it is a lot. It's like, it's kind of scary to watch somebody up there and you're thinking, they're going to choke. They're going to die. It's crazy. But the thing is, you know what? We have to make time for something that if we really think it's our win. We've got to quit wasting time. And I think so many of us are so guilty of that. Just wasting time. You know, instead of like picking up the Bible or maybe even listening to a worship song, and you say your faith is important to you, and instead what you do is you go binge on Netflix, or, you know, this is what you do instead. You know, instead of coming to church on Sunday morning, you instead stayed out late on Saturday night and thought, you know what, I'll just catch up later. I'm going to tell you, catching up later a lot of times doesn't work. I can tell you that truthfully myself. There's a few messages when me and John were on vacation that I had to fight and struggle to get back to, actually go back and listen to, because there were so many other things that had come at us during the week, next week. You know, it's like, well, maybe the next week I had to speak. So it's like, oh yeah, start doing that. Well, we still got to listen to that message, you know? And that was with us keeping it in sight. See, a lot of times if you're not keeping your win in your focus, in your mind, if you're not thinking about it, you're not going to win. You're not going to do it. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Obviously, Paul's talking about our faith, but he's talking it in terms of being in a race, right? Because it's a competition. And it's a competition for yourself, really, in a lot of respects. So Paul's talking about running a race, but we could actually think about it in terms of winning a game also, when you think of it that way. So in 1 Corinthians 9:24, DT, Deb's translation, don't you realize that in a game everyone plays, but only one person wins? So play to win. Play to win. When you play to win, like I said, you practice, practice, practice. You put in the time, you put in the effort, and you know what it is, guys? Work. It's work. If you think this is all going to come happen on its own, it's not. It's work. There are times where I'm exhausted at night, especially this last couple weeks. And it's work. But you have to do it. I had to sit down there 2 or 3 days, nearly dying as I wrote these messages, feeling like I couldn't go on. And it was work. And I was exhausted. And I'm not patting myself on the back. This is all what every one of us should do. It's just what we do if we really want to keep our win in sight. I think the problem is a lot of people are scared of work. They're terrified of it. Terrified. One thing that we did with our kids well is we always modeled work and work hard. I don't know if we've hardly ever sat down. Even when we weren't Christians, we were always working. We had a business. We were always working hard. If there was something to do, we worked hard. We worked in the community. I worked at a community, like a group of moms together that were called Moms Are People Too. You worked at that. We worked at Boy Scouts. Cameron became an Eagle Scout. I was a Girl Scout leader. I was a Boy Scout leader. Those different things. We were always working. We always tried to model hard work. Because that's what it takes in life, is hard work. Hopefully you're modeling that for your kids someday if you have children. Show them it takes hard work to succeed in life. But I said, too many people are afraid of work. I think instead what we have is too many people trying to win that lottery or that Powerball is what they're doing, you know? Instead of just going out and getting a job, get a job and start putting a little bit away at least, you know? That's all. You know, they said, what did he win? $2 billion? I think he gets to keep like $673 million because the taxes all went for that. And then he's got another $130 million he's got to pay in 2023, whoever it is that won. They're just going to take it from you. You might as well just work hard and do your best, you know? You think you're going to win $2 billion. I'm on a $2 billion winner. I was like, no, you're not. You're a $600 million winner. So, also, too many people sit around hoping for the right person to come along instead of just trying to become the right person that you can be, so when the right person comes along, you can actually get with that person. This is what the problem is. We're always looking, I'm like, I'm just waiting for that right person. It's like, well, what are you doing to make yourself be a winner so they want to win with you? Or are they going to look at you and think, loser, no thanks, don't want to be with you? Too many people are hoping that their kids will follow after Jesus someday, even though they're not working at it themselves or modeling it for them at themselves at all. But they think somehow, because they drug them to church on a Sunday morning, that these kids are going to be faithful. Even serving guys, I can tell you, I have watched people faithfully serve but not really get into the faith themselves. And you know what they do instead? They burn out and their kids never come. Their kids looked at church as nothing but a chore. Just a chore. Because they didn't get to see their parents love Jesus. Just serve Jesus faithfully. But not love him behind it. It makes all the difference in the world. Model your love for Jesus to your kids. Like I said, we failed. There was times that I had gone through so many tough times and my kids would be like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And my kids would see that. And then when God came through in this amazing way, in a miracle way or something, I'd be like, gosh, did you see that? Did you see how God came through for us? He's so good. It's the balance. Don't pretend like everything's peaches and cream, because it's not. Following after God's not easy. But we can be faithful through the good times and the bad times. We have to model faith. We have to do that for our kids. Thing is, it's not enough to just hope you win, but it's working to win. Working. It's so important. So that's number one. You have to do something consistently and not just do it occasionally. Number two, you have to commit to be in it for the long haul. If you think this is something you're just doing today, you know, I'm going to accept Jesus and that's all it's going to take, understand it is not going to work for you. It is a battle and it's a long battle. You know, the thing is, we have to win the war. It's not a battle today. I mean, you got to keep looking because you want to win the war, right? You know, the thing is, we have to commit to understand that this is a long haul proposition. The game of life is like the game of Monopoly. Is gonna take some time, okay? The longest Monopoly game ever played was 1,680 hours, or 70 days long. You imagine that? I don't even have an hour that I want to spend doing that. That's, whew, wow. But did you know something really interesting that I never knew until I did this study? That since the game's inception in 1936, it said that nobody has ever actually finished a game of Monopoly. No one. No one has ever finished it to the end. People might make more money, they might say that they won, but no one's actually finished the game. Ever. Isn't that crazy when you think of it? You know, it's so crazy because I think statistically speaking, it says that people practicing something the same amount of time, it says that people who chose to make a long-term commitment to something perform 400% better than short-timer. So when you think about your faith, understand it has to be a long-term commitment. It's going to take some time to get to the end, God willing. It's going to be something that you're going to go round and round the bend on, you're going to work on, you're going to struggle. There's times where you're going to have the faith that can move mountains, and there's times you're going to be in the valleys, and you are going to be so despondent and think you can't go on. But that's what faith is. That's what faith is all about. You have to be in it for the long run in your faith. I mean, we can see that it's obvious because, I mean, throughout the Bible, all we see is over and over again how it says you have to endure. Endure. You think if it's short, they're going to tell you to endure something? No. This is a long-term commitment. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It's going to be hard, and it's going to take some time. Colossians 1:11 says, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. Endurance and patience and even suffering is going to come along with this life of faith. It's not an easy game. You ever read those games where you start to read the rules and you're like, man, I don't know if I can do this. This is way too hard. That's actually what faith a lot of times will be for you. It might start out simple, but you know what? There's going to be some battles that you're going to go through that you're going to say, man, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can go on. This is way harder than I thought it was going to be. But endurance and patience is what you're going to need to survive. Number three, if you really want to win, learn from someone who's already been a winner, right? If you want to learn something, you don't go to someone who's been a loser in it. You go to someone who's been an expert at it, a winner, someone that's already played the game and won or looks like they're winning. The problem is, who are you listening to? I hope you're listening to someone who's actually got your best interest at heart in your faith, not someone else who's really struggling to win themselves. That's like not following the ways that we're supposed to follow. I think a lot of times what we do is we really take bad advice, really bad advice from people. You know, a lot of times people are saying, no, you know, it doesn't matter if you do this because, you know, you'll be fine. It's like, where's their kids? Are their kids here? Where's their marriage? Are they living paycheck to paycheck? What kind of life are they modeling? Do you really want to listen to a loser, or do you want to listen to a winner, someone who's been successful? Go to someone who's already battled a problem that you're dealing with and see how they handled it. The problem is we just kind of like keep going to the same people around us that are going to tell us a lot of times what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. It's tough. It's tough sometimes to deal with what people have to tell you what's truth. You know, but if you have someone who truly loves you and wants you to win in your faith, they're going to be up front and they're going to tell you what's up, is what they're going to do. Experts can give you pointers. They're there to tell you where the dangers are. They will tell you when you're going to lose, and they will encourage you when you feel like quitting the game. That's what's necessary. I love the Bible where it says, follow me as I follow the Lord, and you look at the disciples. That's what we need to do. We need to pattern ourselves after these disciples, those that have been faithful to the end when every single thing came at them at this game of life, and they remained faithful to the very end. That's what we need to do. We need a mentor. We need someone in our life who's actually going to do those things for us. If you think you're going to be a lone ranger in this game of faith, you are not going to make it. You have to have somebody that's going to be there for you. We can do it up here from the stage, but you know what? We're not close enough to you to tell you every day what you need to do. You have to have somebody in your life that's going to tell you the truth and be a mentor to you. Look at the Karate Kid had Mr. Miyagi, right? Luke Skywalker had Yoda. Do or not do, there is no try. Luke also had Obi-Wan Kenobi, who told him to use the Force. Guys, use the Force. Use the Force. It's important. The Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy 25 times to be strong and endure in the work in Ephesus. 25 times he said, endure, keep working, don't give up, Timothy, don't do it. Listen, if you want to win in this game of life, you have to know what it is that you want to win. You have to know which rules you're playing by. You have to think about them. You have to have the real strategy that's going to be behind it to do it. Strategies are practice, 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 right? Keep going. Read God's word. I don't care if you read a few words starting out. Read a few words. The Bible is powerful. It is amazing. It has the opportunity to, it says it cuts apart our heart. It kind of changes us and challenges us and kind of helps us to grow. You can have just a few words every day. If you would just commit to read a sentence, I'd be happy with that if you did it. Pray. This world is a crazy place. Man, if I didn't have prayer, I don't know what I would do. Sometimes it's the only thing that gets me through is like, God, I know you're in control. I know no matter what happens in this crazy world, that you've got this. You already told us we're going to win. And you pray to him. And you know what it does? It takes away a little of the worry, because we're really people filled with worry so much in our lives. You know what we do is you get up and you say, God, help me throughout this day. Help me to be led by your Holy Spirit. Do what Job did. Pray for your family. Pray that they're protected. Pray that they're you know, safe, and that God's going to help them through their battles. Pray that he can help you get through all the trials that you're going to have thrown at you all day long. Pray that you can be patiently enduring the suffering that comes at you. Seek out a community of people. Seek out people who are going to build you up. Like I said, if you think that you're going to go out and live a life of faith but never have anybody around you who's doing the same, it's not very long before you're going to screw up. You got to have people that are going to encourage you to keep going on. Worship. I know we come in late and we think it's no big deal. I don't need to raise my hand. I don't need to sing a song. I can tell you, battles are won when we worship. There's things that take place in worship, guys. It is amazing what it does. When I sit this morning before I even come here, I mean, I just sat there and listened to all these amazing worship songs, and it puts you in the right thing. It's like, yeah, God, you got this. You're so good. You love us so much. And it kind of forces you and make you think about your walk sometimes. Like I said, when you're singing those songs, you know, you kind of think, yeah, I kind of go back and forth a little bit. I maybe don't do all that. You know, in those moments of worship, it teaches us so much. Spend some time in worship. Be consistent. Don't just do today. Do it tomorrow. Do it the next day, the next day, the next day. Even if it's just something simple in your faith, just work on that. Be in it for the long haul. This is not something we're just doing one time. This is something we choose to do every day. What does the Bible say? We pick up our cross every day. That's what we do. God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Just this today has enough problems of its own. Just work on today. That's what we need to do. Be in it for the long haul. Understand that today you get through this battle, and understand you've got many, many days to keep working through. And then learn from other winners. Don't take bad advice. Don't take your own advice, because a lot of times we are the worst advice givers to ourselves. Seek God's word over our own word. You know, the thing is, we can win. We can all win. We can get to the end, and we can confidently say what Paul said himself. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Game plan? I played the game, I finished the game, and I won it, right? Let me pray for you. Well, God, you are so amazing. We just ask right now that you would just help us, Lord God. For those people right now who are saying, that's me, I'm a little inconsistent, or maybe I'm not taking the best advice, or maybe I'm not really thinking this is a long-term thing, and I'm not really practicing what I need to practice. I pray that you today, Lord God, would just give them a shoot of adrenaline, Lord God, something that they can do to understand that this is what's important, that they have a win in sight, that they really truly want to seek after you every day and continue on with that. Lord, I thank you, Father, for each one of us who have salvation. Lord God, we just ask that you just help us to continue to grow so that we can become winners in this game of life. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.